Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word. We're in the book of Exodus, and we're going to start today at Chapter 26. Now, chapter 26 through 31, these chapters are all basically construction details for the tabernacle in the wilderness, because they were going to carry this thing around for quite some time. Yahweh knew that. He does that. And they were really going to make this thing elaborate, and it's going to be a beautiful construction, but it had to be portable, because they were going to be going all over the place basically, and they needed to have stuff they could put up and take down. And we're going to tell you all about that. And there's a lot of significance to this stuff. There's not going to be a lot of references because it's construction details. But I will be making comments as I read the word, and explaining some of the odd words that are used, because they're Hebrew terminology to describe things, and a lot of times it doesn't translate well into English. We can give an approximation of it, but we do the best we can. This thing is no longer in existence. Maybe scraps of it are somewhere. But this is what they were going to use in their wanderings. And it's really interesting as to how they put this thing together. So let's get started in verse 1 of chapter 26 of Exodus. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle, that's 4908, with 10 curtains, 3407, of fine linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubim of artistic 2803 workmanship, 4639, you shall make them. In other words, when they put the tabernacle up, they had to have 10 separate curtains to build the tabernacle, to hang them, because they just couldn't carry everything. You know, they were on camels and donkeys and stuff, and they were going to carry it from one place to another. Well, they had to have these things, the curtains, 10 curtains, to make one big tabernacle. Verse 2. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits. Now, this is the sacred cubit, which is longer than the standard 18-inch plus or minus cubit. Turns out to be around 23 inches. The sacred cubit is longer than the standard cubit, as the shekel of the temple, of the tabernacle, is more in weight than a standard business shekel. A shekel of the sanctuary is what they call it. And it was different as well. So when you dedicated something or made a vow and you paid it off, it was a different weight of silver or gold, because that's what a shekel is a measurement of weight. Like our U.S. dollar used to be 1 troy ounce of silver. Now it's pot metal. But they had a weight that they used for the shekel. And when they're speaking of the tabernacle or the temple in the future, things are different than out in the business world, outside the temple or the tabernacle. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of one curtain 4 cubits, and all of the curtains shall have one measurement, 4060. They were looking for perfection here, because this is going to be the dwelling place of Yahweh while they were traveling. He was going to follow along with them and appear in that tabernacle. So it had to be just so. And all of these measurements were given to Moshe on the mountain. Verse 3, the 5 curtains shall be joined together, 2, 2, 6, 6, one to another, and the other 5 curtains shall be joined together, one to another. Okay, these were things that they would unpack and assemble. Each time they made a stop, and they were going to be there for some time, they would put the tabernacle up. Verse 4. And you shall make loops, 3, 9, 2, 4, of blue upon the edge, 8, 1, 9, 3, of the one curtain from the edge, 7, 0, 9, 8, in the junction, 2, 2, 7, 9, and likewise you shall make in the uttermost, 7, 0, 2, 0, edge of another curtain in the juncture, 4, 2, 2, 5, of the second. In other words, all these things were made so they could be hooked together. And the word blue here is tekelet, number 8504, and that is the same blue that we are to have a thread of in the tzitzit of men's garments to remind us of all the commandments. That was a commandment of Yahweh for men of Israel to wear a four-cornered garment at all times when they were out with tzitzit, in other words, tassels on the corners. I'm wearing one right now. When I get up in the morning, I put my tzitzit on, my tzitzit shirt, because it's a commandment. Nobody's going to see it but me and Yahweh. Yahweh knows I'm wearing it, and I'm obedient to His command. May not be practical, but I don't care about practical. I care about pleasing my Father in heaven. That's what it's all about. Verse 5. 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make in the edge, 7097, of the curtain that is in the juncture of the second. that the loops may take hold, 6901, of one another. Verse 6, and you shall make 50 hooks, 7165, of gold, and join the curtains together with the hooks, and it shall be one tabernacle. So this is like a Lego set. You put it together. When you reach your destination that you're going to camp for a while, when Yahweh tells you to stop, you're going to put this together. Now these just describe the side curtains of the tabernacle. In verse 7, and you shall make curtains of goat's hair, very durable and waterproof, to be a tent, 168, over the tabernacle. This is the roof of it. 11 curtains you shall make. Verse 8, the length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, these are sacred cubits, and the width of one curtain, 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be of one measurement. And you shall join 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double, 3717, the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tent, like an awning coming out. 10, and you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outermost in the junction, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain that joins the second. These are all loops that we're going to join these curtains together. Verse 11. And you shall make 50 hooks of bronze, 5178, and put the hooks into the loops and join the tent together so that it may be one. Now they use bronze instead of gold, because bronze is tin mixed with brass, and they even used it for weapons because it had much more tensile strength than gold, and this is going to be the heavy roof of a heavier fabric of the goat's hair. So they used bronze because it would be more durable, and it could be polished very highly. They even made mirrors out of that and polished them. So this is very durable substance. It was the Bronze Age, mostly. They did have iron, and iron in some crude form. They didn't have the great big furnaces to smelt iron ore like we do today. So iron existed, but was not prevalent. Most of the stuff that needed to be heavy duty was made out of bronze. Verse 12, and the remnant, 5629, that remains, 5736, of the curtains of the tent, the half that remains shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. In other words, it made a drip edge for if it rained, it wouldn't drip inside the tabernacle. And they had the sixth curtain as a like an awning over the front, and a drip edge of the rest of it that was hanging over the backside, so it would drip down on the ground instead of inside or on the curtains of the tabernacle. Very practical. Yahweh designed this. I think he knew what he was doing. Verse 13, and a cubit on the one side and a cubit on the other side of that which remains in the length, 753, of the curtains of the tent, shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. 3680. So they had a drip awning in the back and a drip awning on the first side and an awning that stuck out with that sixth curtain in the front. 14. And you shall make a covering, 4372, for the tent of the skins of rams dyed red. Okay. That is ma'adamim. That is 119, which is the root of Adam, 120. That's the root word, dyed red, to be made or dyed red. Show red blood in the face, to blush. Through our nice white skin, you can see we flush red when we get angry or are embarrassed or it's a joke and we're laughing and we turn red and ruddy. That's what that word means. You shall make a covering for the tent of the skins of rams dyed red, and a covering of... Now, they put badger skins in the King James Version, but this word is unknown. They inserted what they wanted in there. I do not do that. And a covering of tekashim. 8476 skins. I put the Hebrew in there and it is in brackets and it is indicated in the notes that this is an unknown skin. I'm not going to put something in there just to be convenient. I'm going to tell it like it is. Of tekashim skins from above. They would cover this tent, further waterproofing, supported by the heavier goat's hair. Fifteen, and you shall make boards, 7175, for the tabernacle of wood of shittim, standing up, 5975. Now, shittim is supposed to be acacia. That's what it's supposed to be, but we're not sure. So I put the word shittim in there. S-H-I-T-T-I-Y-M. It's a type of wood. Probably acacia, but unless it said acacia wood, I'm not going to put it in there. I'm going to put in what's in the Hebrew. Verse 16. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of one board. Verse 17. And there shall be two tenons, 3027, which literally means hands, but it describes a construction detail, something that can be joined together. Be two tenons in one board, joined 7947, one against another. Thus shall you make for all the boards of the tabernacle. Now, these are the sidewalls. And the curtains of fine linen were going to be on the inside. This is the outside support boards. And they all join together closely with these tenons that I just spoke of. They hook together somehow. I don't know how they did it exactly, but that's what that word means. Okay. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board. Now, this was a 23-inch cubit. That's pretty doggone tall. These are long boards, and they had to have virgin trees back in those days that really grew big. And listen to this, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of one board. So this board had to be a single piece of wood, 10 cubits high, and a cubit and a half of 23-inch cubits. Why? That's a big tree. And they had to saw and plane and polish these. That was some major lumber right there. Verse 17, and there shall be two tenons again in one board, joined one against another. Thus shall you make for all the boards of the tabernacle. These were great big boards, and they made the outside walls of the tabernacle out of these things. And they had the fine linen drapes inside for decorative effect, beautiful white. This is where the ark was going to be, and it had to be beautiful. Well, it was. Verse 18, and you shall make for the boards of the tabernacle 20 boards on the south 5045 side 6285 southward 8486. And you shall make 40 bases, 134, of silver under the 20 boards. Two bases under one board for its two tenons, and two bases under another board for its two tenons. In other words, these bases were going to overlap half and half into the next board. So it would be the base that they would slide down into, and they could slip pins or something through these tenons and hold these things into their metal base to sit on the ground to keep it steady. Verse 20, and for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, 20 boards. Verse 21, and there are 40 bases of silver, two bases under one board and two bases under another board. 22, and for the sides of the tabernacle seaward, that's 3220, yamim, not yomim as days, yamim with an A. And seaward means west, toward the Mediterranean Sea. That's the word they used for west, because all they knew was the Med was out there and it was west. And for the sides of the tabernacle seaward, you shall make 6 boards. So it was going to be not a square. It was going to be shorter on the sides than the length, because they had the ark in the middle, and they had the tables, and they had all this stuff, and it was spread out in a line. So it didn't have to be as deep as it was wide. And you shall make 2 boards for the corners, 4742, of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. In other words, so they would hook it together. The sides and the front and the back. 24, and they shall be joined together, 8382, beneath. And they shall be joined together above the top of it unto one ring. So shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. Verse 25, and they shall be 8 boards, and their bases of silver, 16 bases, two bases under one board and two bases under another board. The bases were made out of pure silver, highly polished. The stuff that was going to sit on the ground was polished silver for the house of Yahweh, for his dwelling place. You can imagine how magnificent this thing was. Verse 26, and you shall make two bars, 1280, of wood of shittim, five for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the two sides seaward. Verse 28, and the middle bar in the middle of the board shall reach from end to end. This is the cross piece that was going to hold all these boards together. Listen to this. Verse 29, and you shall overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And you shall overlay the bars with gold. Wow. Because they used beaten gold, and it had to be pure and soft enough to beat with a bronze hammer against a bronze anvil to beat it fine in order to overlay it. And they had master craftsmen doing this. So it was going to be spectacular. Verse 30, and you shall raise up, 6965, the tabernacle according to the manner, 4941, which mitzvot, which also means the judgment and justice, has number of meanings thereof, the manner thereof, which was shown to you in the mountain. Yahweh gave Moshe all these complicated plans in that mountain on how to build his mobile dwelling place. Here in verse 31 is very important. And you shall make a veil, 6532, of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of artistic workmanship with cherubim it shall be made. They embroidered all of this stuff. Now this object, 6532, is the veil of the temple that was rent when Yeshua Messiah dismissed his spirit and gave it up and completed the blood sacrifice to cover over our sins on that stake at Calvary where he was impaled. Same thing. That was rent. So remember that's in your New Testament. That veil was ripped apart. Wow. Verse 32. And you shall place it upon four pillars of wood of shittim overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four bases of silver. Four great big pillars, massive pillars of wood overlaid with gold, set on silver basis. Verse 33, and you shall hang up the veil under the hooks, so that there you may bring inside the veil of the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide to you between the holy, 6944, and the holy of holies, 6944 doubled for emphatic use. So one just says holy, and when you double it up, it says the holy of holies. That's how the Hebrews wrote it. So I'll read it. Wunatata et haparaket takath hakarasim wehebeta shama mi bet laparaket et aron haidut wahibdila baparaket lachem bain hakadosh ubain kodesh hakadashim. That's what it says in the Hebrew. The Holy of Holies, Kodesh HaKadashim. Verse 34, and you shall put the kapareth, that is the lid with the cherubim on it, upon the ark of the testimony in the Holy of Holies. Verse 35, and you shall set the table outside of the veil, and the menorah, that is the lamp that they put oil in, opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. Verse 36. And you shall make a hanging for the doorway of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twisted linen wrought with needlework. In other words, all embroidered with just all this fantastic stuff that they did. That just the women just worked tirelessly. And it was all volunteer. They did it for the love of Yahweh. Wonderful. 37, and you shall make for the hanging five pillars of wood of shittim, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five bases of bronze for them, because these were going to bear a lot of weight. And bronze is stronger than the silver, so that's why they made the bases of bronze. Because they were going to have to bear more weight. Now, on chapter 26, on verse 33, you can reference the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 19, and chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. And now we're going to go into chapter 27. Of this fantastic construction that they were making for the glory of Yahweh. Verse 1, and you shall make an altar of wood of shittim 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be 4 square, 7251. Big square table, and the height of it shall be 3 cubits. And you shall make the horns, 7161, of it, upon the 4 corners of it. The horn shall be of the same, and I put material in italics for clarity. It's not in the Hebrew, but of the same material. It makes it easier to understand. but it's set apart by the italics, so it's not in the Hebrew. And you shall overlay it with bronze, because that would give it strength. Verse 3. And you shall make its pots 5518 to receive its ashes, and its shovels 1257, and its bowls 4219, and mitzlagotev 4207. We don't know what that word is. I don't care what they put in the King James Version. The word is unknown, and I'm just going to put the Hebrew in there because we don't know what it means. No opinions welcome. No filler words welcome. It is what it is. If you don't know what it is, say so. They don't do that. I do, but they don't. And fire pans, 4289. All the implements of it you shall make of bronze. Because they're going to make things that are going to be in hot stuff. They can't make it of gold or silver because it would melt. Bronze is a lot tougher. And it's going to be work implements. So they made them of bronze and they polished them. They were probably highly engraved and very beautiful. But they needed to be of a tougher material than gold or silver. And you shall make for it a grating, 4345, a network. Now this is 4639 combined with 7568, a network of bronze, and upon the net 7568. You shall make four bronze rings in the four corners of it. And you shall put it under the border of the altar beneath, so that the net may be even to the middle of the altar. And you, verse 6, and you shall make the poles for the altar, poles of wood of shittim, and you shall overlay them with bronze. Now remember the poles for the ark and the table of the showbread were overlaid with gold. These are overlaid with bronze because the work of this particular altar is all done in bronze, not gold or silver. And it has to be like unto like. Each kind unto its kind. Bronze for bronze, gold for gold. That's Yahweh's order of things. It starts out in Genesis. That's why we don't race mix. Each kind unto its kind. Well, they didn't mix metals for the altars and the ark and stuff. They had everything. All the accompanying items had to be of the same material. Yahweh doesn't like diversity. And the pole shall be put into the rings, and the pole shall be upon the two sides of the altar to carry it. Hollow. 5014, with boards shall you make it, as it was shown to you in the mountain, so shall they make it. Verse 9, and you shall make the courtyard, 2691, of the tabernacle, for the south side southward, hanging 7050 for the courtyard of fine twined linen of 100 cubits long for one side. 100 cubits times 23 inches. That's a big piece of cloth, sports fans. Verse 10. and the 20 pillars of it, and their 20 bases. Now, it doesn't have this in the Hebrew, but I added it for clarity in italics to set it apart. Shall be of bronze. For it's going to have to carry all that weight. So they made it a bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets, 2838, shall be of silver, because they're decorative. And they're going to have so many of them that it would carry the weight. Verse 11, and likewise for the north side in length, again added in italics, there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, and its 20 pillars and their 20 bases of bronze, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. Again, identical. 12, and for the width of the courtyard on the seaward side shall be, in italics, hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their bases 10. And the width of the courtyard on the east side eastward shall be 50 cubits. So the sides are going to be 50 cubits and the long part is going to be 100 cubits. This is big. And they carried all this stuff for 40 years. Verse 14. The hangings of one side, and this is in italics for clarity, of the gate shall be, in other words, the opening. That's not in the Hebrew, but I added it for clarity in italics to set it apart so it's not confused with actual Hebrew text. The hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their bases 3. Verse 15. And on the other side, again in italics, shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their bases 3. And this is why I put of the gate shall be in italics above, because this verse supports it. Verse 16, and for the gate, 8179, in the Hebrew, of the courtyard, in italics, shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen, wrought with needlework, and their pillars, in italics, shall be 4, and their bases 4. We're talking a massive portable construction here. Now you have to remember, all of this was done after we left Mitzrayim, and we were wandering around in the wilderness directed by Yahweh. So this is what he wanted to be carried around, where he would visit and speak with Moshe and let the children of Israel know that he was there, because he'd appear in a pillar of cloud. And they knew, you know, when the pillar was there, they would stop and they would stay there until Yahweh lifted the pillar up and left. And he said, okay, now you can go. Varying periods of time. They don't tell us exactly how long. That information was not written down and it's been lost. But he would stay as long as he wanted to stay, and then he would go. Come and go as he pleased. And Verse 17. All the pillars round about the courtyard, in italics, shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their bases of bronze for strength. Bronze pillars, bronze bases. Verse 18, the length of the courtyard, in italics, shall be 100 cubits, and the width 50 everywhere, and the height 5 cubits of fine twined linen, and their bases of bronze. That's for strength. Verse 19. All the implements of the tabernacle in all the service of it, and all the tent pins, number 3, 4, 8, 9 of it, and all the tent pins of the courtyard shall be of bronze. Verse 20. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure 2134 oil 8081 of olives 2132 beaten 3795 for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. 8548. They lit the menorah. As long as it was up in the tabernacle, it burned continually. Now you remember I talked about the festival of the dedication of Hanukkah, and that I celebrate Hanukkah because Yeshua, Messiah, celebrated it. It's in the book of John, chapter 10. It's called the Feast of the Dedication. And in Hebrew, that is Chag, Feast, Hanukkah, Dedication, Feast of the Dedication. When they had defiled the temple and put statues and stuff in it in Jerusalem, and the Israelites rebelled and kicked them out, and they were going to cleanse the temple. The enemy had destroyed all the pure oil for the menorah, except for one jar, which was enough for one day. So the priest had to make this pure oil of beaten olive oil, and they were in process for that, and Yahweh made that one jar, one day's supply, burn for 8 days until they could get the rest of the olive oil made. And that was a miracle given because of the rededication and cleansing of the temple. And Hanukkah is in celebration of that 8-day burning out of one day's supply of oil by the hand of Yahweh. And Yeshua and the disciples were there in Jerusalem celebrating that festival. So if it's good enough for Yeshua Messiah, it's good enough for me. It is not a Jewish holiday. They have tried to take it, as they have everything else. It is not of the Jews. They make a big deal out of it to steal our birthright. I'm not going to let them. I celebrate Hanukkah every year, and I have an 8-lamp Hanukkah. It is not a menorah. They try to call it a menorah. Menorah has seven lamps. The Hanukkah, you put eight candles in, you light one, and then the next day you light two, and the next day you light three, etc., etc., in celebration of the 8 days that Yahweh gave us. Israel didn't give it to the Jews, gave it to Israel out of 1 day's supply of oil, and Yeshua Messiah celebrated it. So there. And I celebrated too. Anything he did, I want to do. I want to do everything that he did. I want to obey. If he celebrated it, I'm for it. Let's go to the last verse here. Verse 21. In the tent of meeting outside of the veil. That's what they called it, the tent of meeting, because they would meet with Yahweh there. He was in the Holy of Holies. But when Moshe wanted to talk to him, he would go outside the Holy of Holies and meet with Yahweh. In the tent of meeting outside of the veil, which is before the testimony. Now that's what they called the Ark of the Testimony and the Ark of the Covenant. Aron Breshit, or Aron, I just went brain dead here. Pardon me. Ark of the Testimony, Edut is the testimony. And I tell you, I haven't had enough coffee. I got up early, and I'm sorry. I'll get it later, but it's too late, and I can't remember. That's terrible. Oh my. Which is before the testimony, Aharon and his sons shall set it in order from evening to morning before Yahweh. In italics, it shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Okay. That's gone. Why is it gone? The Aharonic priesthood was done away with by Yeshua Messiah, because it had been infiltrated by the Edomites and was impure. He took that service away from the Aharonic Levitical priesthood, and he gave it to priesthood by an oath, which is the order of Melchizedek, which means the King of Righteousness. Now, who is the King of Righteousness? That is Yeshua Messiah, who was the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Yeshua Messiah, our eternal divine king. So the Aharonic priesthood, all the blood sacrifices for the remission of sin are fulfilled, because the final perfect blood sacrifice was made by Yeshua at Calvary. And he said, when he released his spirit, they couldn't take it from him, they couldn't kill him, because he was divine. He released his spirit and let that body he inhabited lapse into death. He said, "It is finished." The covering over of the apostasy of Israel was accomplished by the perfect Passover lamb on the twilight at Passover, when all the lambs were killed. That perfect lamb surrendered himself voluntarily to cover our sins over. a one-time grace at Calvary on the stake. Today it has followed us, and as new people are born and they learn of the sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah, if they accept him and proclaim him as the kinsman redeemer of Israel, the national redeemer, not personal savior, national redeemer, they come under that covenant. That it has to be a willful decision on the part of each individual Israelite. This covenant was not given to anyone else, as none of the other covenants were given to non-Israelites. They were with the people of Israel, the subsection of the race of Adam that Yahweh himself chose. He chose us. We didn't choose him. We weren't super righteous or super good or anything. He chose us basically because of the righteousness of Abraham. And we are under that Abrahamic covenant. And it carries over to us. And we're real lucky to have that happen. Because without it, we'd be hit. And it's a miracle, it's a gift, it's a blessing of love from our Father that he would care about us enough to do all these things. And Shar, the children of Gershom, carried all of this stuff. That'll come up later. Who's carrying what? That'll be in Numbers. They all had all the things of the tribe of Levi had duties. There was a priestly class, and there was other classes of people that did of that tribe that did many things, and they carried all this stuff with them. And Gershom's people, the tribe of Gershom, were to carry all these utensils and stuff. They had a lot of tools with them. So there you go, dear. Oh, man. I watched the chat. I have a lot of friends, and I am so grateful. So very grateful. And this thing here with EFR is magnificent. It's a great work facilitated by Yahweh. He has enabled us to put the EFR together, to put his word out there. Praise Yahweh in all things. I won't be on Yahweh's covenant people tonight. Eli's got a special guest, and you're gonna wanna tune into that at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you'll get a big kick out of tonight's show. It's going to be outstanding. But I will be back on Bloodlines on Sunday, and we're getting pretty close here, so I'm going to leave a little extra time in case this has to. This show has to be used as a filler sometime. They need a little extra space. So I will be back on Monday, and we'll be doing chapter 28, etc. And have a good weekend, and Yahweh bless, and Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the